week. So today we're talking about fasting and prayer. I love fasting and prayer. And the reason I love fasting and prayer is because I'm not a patient person. And I truly believe fasting and prayer kind of puts God in the express lane. It stirs things up. And so I want to get dug off into this teaching. The great thing about me having the microphone is I actually get to start early, am I? I'm like 2 minutes behind. That's perfect. No, yeah. So let's pray and let's get going. Gracious Father, we just thank you. God, I thank you for the enthusiasm in this room. God, I thank you that enthusiasm comes, God, because you're beginning to reveal your word to your children. And God, the more you reveal your word to your children, the more we get to know you. God, and I pray that you continue to condition our hearts, till that soil, that tough soil, God, so that we can plant your word deep inside. Father, we can fill our quiver full of the arrows of the Holy Spirit, God, that we may fight the enemy, God, in the days to come, and that you empower us, God, with your word. And God, as we dive into today's lesson about fasting and prayer, God, you have a specific way of speaking to everybody individually. God, I pray that you open their eyes that they may see, their ears that they may hear, God, that you may show them what you have them to do in this upcoming week, God. And I just pray that you empower them, give them the desire, God, to pray and fast so that they may know you more. And I pray, God, that you anoint me, because this can't be Justin. This can't be my words. This can't be what I think should be said. God, it has to come from you. And I thank you for anointing this teaching in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get going, because I love this. I love this. Let me set my timer 2 hours. Oh, no? Is that too long? I don't know how long I have. Let me do the math. So what time is it? 7:15? We're supposed to be out of here. And we're supposed to do group work at 7:35. Okay, let's just roll with it. All right. Understanding the biblical teaching of fasting and prayer. By a show of hands, who in here desires a breakthrough in some specific area of their life? I would say that's everybody. I know I do. I know God probably thinks I'm the most neediest person in the world, because I'm like, God, I need a breakthrough. Then I have a breakthrough, and then I want another one. I'm needy, but I'm needy because I know God meets my needs. And so I desire breakthrough in multiple areas of my life because I want to be completely free. And so when it comes to breakthrough, there's key ingredients that lead up to breakthrough, and we have responsibility in that. We're going to talk about one of the key applications that we can do is prayer and fasting. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This is very important, because when we understand prayer and fasting, we won't look at fasting and prayer as a bad thing. I think that it gets a bad rap sometimes. And when you consider prayer and fasting, it's an application, it's a tool that God give us to apply to our life to strengthen us spiritually. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want you to leave excited and confident about prayer and fasting, and know that prayer and fasting is for you no matter what walk, wherever you're at in your walk with Christ. Whether you're a seasoned vet and you've been in this game for 50 years, prayer and fasting is still for you. Or if you're just getting started and you're just really on this journey and this walk, God was so smart in everything that he did. Even when he created and designed prayer and fasting, he designed it to cover the multitudes of people. Thank goodness he did, because I would have failed miserably on most of my prayers and fasting. But God did it where he could. He was so brilliant that he did it where he designed it for our health too. So let's look at that. So what is a fast? I want to say this, and there's this saying I've heard a lot of pastors say, and it's the word kiss. And I have to look at fast like this, and it's keep it simple, stupid. And when we look at fasting like that, and we keep it simple, and we take the tough side out of it and realize what it's for, it's powerful. So let's do it. It said, a fast is the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specific period of time. It is an ancient practice found in most religions of the world. Traditionally, fasting has been a wildly used form of asceticism, or that's refraining from pleasure. That's what that word means. And and practice observed for the purpose of purifying the person or atoning for sins and wrongdoing. The crazy thing about fasting and stuff is that other religions do it other than Christianity. But they do it with the wrong condition of heart. So basically what they're doing is on an extreme diet. We're going to talk about how not to make it a diet. God, I'm not saying God didn't want us to diet, but not when it comes to prayer and fasting. So the discipline of fasting is available to strengthen your spirituality and to help you overcome barriers that keep you from living a victorious Christian life. It is available. That's important that we know that it is available. It's another tool in God's toolbox that if we'll open and access this toolbox, that it is available for us to empower us to draw closer to Christ. And the closer we are to Christ, the stronger our walk is, the stronger our faith is, the stronger everything is. So that's what prayer and fasting is for. So on your first fill in the blank, you see where it says, when Jesus taught on prayer and fasting, he said, and when you pray, and when you fast. Notice he doesn't use the word if. He says, and when. That's very important because God knows the power of it. He knew before we ever took our first breath that on this journey of life, we were going to need to have the application of prayer and fast. So he's saying, when you do this, when you pray, and when you fast. So it's basically, it's not a commandment, but it's basically saying, hey, you need to do this. It says, and it says, notice that he did not use the word if. What is clear about Jesus' perspective of the spiritual practice of fasting and prayer? What is clear, other than the fact that he calls us to do it, what is clear, what things illuminate y'all when it comes to prayer and fasting? Questions, answers. Huh? That's good. That's good. That what she said is you do them together. You pair prayer and fasting together. Fasting by itself is dieting. What else? Anybody else have anything that the idea of what Jesus is talking about when it comes to prayer and fasting? That's great. Thank you. I'm still going to Alaska with you. She's leaving to go to Alaska, and I'm going with her. That suitcase is going to be heavy, but I'm going. Okay, this is what I see when Jesus is talking about it. When you combine these two things, it creates power. It creates friction. Friction creates power. When you combine two things of fasting and then you pair it with prayer, what we're doing is we're creating power in an area of our life. Not that prayer is not powerful, because prayer is powerful. Not that fasting is not powerful, but imagine when you take two powerful things and put them together. What happens? Now you're creating more power. Well, that's my perception of what Jesus is talking about when he says, when we do this. Okay? So let's look at the four kinds of fast. All right? This is where I think God did a really great job, like he always does, when he talks about the four different kinds of fast, because he has specifically designed a fast for everybody. The first one is the complete fast. The complete fast is going without food for a definite period of time. In Judges 20:26, it says, then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. They had a definite period, a definite time frame in which they were going to fast. It was a time set up from point A to point B. We're going to start this at this time, and we're going to fast to this time. All right? That is a complete, and when they fasted everything. They completely eliminated anything that they were consuming, liquid food, for a set period of time. And then there is the absolute fast. The absolute fast is going without food or water, and it should be short. Moses' 40-day fast would kill anyone without supernatural intervention. It says, be sure to test the spirit that tries to talk to you into a 40-day fast without water, because normally it's physically impossible. If you think you're getting called into a 40-day fast, I would spend some time praying and fasting about that fast. I'm serious. It's not how big the fast is. It's not how hard the fast is. It's the condition of our heart in the fast. And so just because we say, oh, I'm going on a 40-day fast, man, God's going to show up and he's going to do this. If God didn't call you to that 40-day fast, God didn't call you to that 40-day fast. So if you're going to go into a complete, absolute, or an absolute, 40-day fast like Moses did, you need to make sure that you test that spirit and know that it is Jesus calling you, because you are supernaturally going to have his power. Make sure that you don't sign up for something that God hasn't called you to sign up to see results from, because God won't be in that. The second one is the selective fast. The selective fast includes omitting certain foods for a certain period of time. It's when I talked about a while ago that he has a fast for everybody. Well, this one is, look at one of the things. It says selective fasts are ideal for people who have hypoglycemia or other health issues or needs. Tell me how brilliant God is that he knew we were going to have a fast that could meet health needs and keep us safe. These fasts aren't meant to hurt you. These fasts are meant to help you. And so with this fast and with God's, with his ability to understand his children so much, he said, I need to do a selective fast. So even the ones that have health issues, as long as their heart's in the right place, the selective fast is just as powerful as a 40-day absolute fast. Because it's all about condition of heart. That's what it's about. Number three, a partial fast. A partial fast involves avoiding all or certain foods periodically. This is one that I would encourage you, whether you've been a senior saint or you're just, this is something I would encourage you to start weekly. And the reason why is because you know how the week gets going. We leave on a Wednesday night and you're trying to figure out what that crazy guy up there in the front's been talking about, and then you finally figure out what he's talking about and grow two, and then you walk into Thursday and you walk into Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday you get church, and all of a sudden Monday rolls around, Tuesday rolls around, and all of a sudden you've got back to this pattern. When we insert a fast during those times, it makes us stop. When we said, just say it's on a Tuesday and we know Tuesday at lunch we're going to fast and pray, it makes us stop from this fast-paced life that we live, going 9 million miles an hour, which we all do, and it makes us stop and reflect. And it's almost like a reset button to me. And so when I set that time aside, and I know Tuesday from that I'm not going to, I'm just say Tuesday I'm going to fast lunch. I'm not eating lunch Tuesday. Well, during that time, I spend that time with prayer. What it does is it resets me and it reconnects me at a deeper level. And even if I've been studying throughout the week and I do this, life happens. It happens to all of us. And this is a way to push that reset button, reconnect to God. And there's just something powerful about it. And it keeps our mind fresh. And it keeps our mind fresh on connecting with God. But it also keeps me, I can speak from personal experience, it keeps me aware of how far I can drift off of the path and not even know it. Because all of a sudden I sit down on a Tuesday at lunch and I have fasted and I'm fasting this and I'm fasting that, and I look up and I'm like, man, I haven't read the Bible today. It's been 2 days since I've read it. When's the last time I prayed? How much time have I spent in prayer? It pulls me back into alignment. And that's powerful. And then Number four is a soul fast. It's based around a theme in your life or a specific situation. You don't think God ain't clever? He knew we was going to have social media and TV and football and everything else. He's brilliant. And so there may be, you may be at a time frame in your life where food isn't something you can fast. Okay, I met with a lady here a while back, and she was asking me about prayer and fasting, and I was discussing with her. She said, well, I'm on a liquid diet. Because of some health issues, she said, what can I fast? And I said, well, there's a soul fast. I said, and it can disconnect you from the world, and it's maybe TV or your favorite TV show. And that's what she fasted. Taking away this, there is still between the four different kinds of fast, there's not one of them that says, hey, this is more powerful than the next. Because it all rolls back to the condition of her heart, every bit of it. And so, you young guys at this table, social media, devices, sleeping in. So what would we do in that time frame of sleeping in? We says, all right, you know what? I'm gonna fast sleeping in. So instead of getting up at 8 o'clock, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. What do we do during that time? Yeah, Chandler, y'all, I'm talking to y'all. What would you do? If you're fasting sleep on a Saturday, and you're going to get to sleep till 8 o'clock, but you say, you know what, I'm going to fast, I'm going to get up at 6. What are you going to do from that 6 to 8?
Wish you were still in bed.
If you're Bubba, you're going to wish you were still in bed. Now, that's the truth.
No, I would use that time in the morning to eat my breakfast and do like a Bible study while I eat my breakfast.
Exactly. I'm trying to get you to understand and see that fasting is not just eliminating something. I don't want to go too far into it because we're going to talk about it in the next section, but when you eliminate something, God's so beautiful that when we eliminate something, especially something that we desire, and replace it with something that pushes us closer to Him, He fills that void. And we're going to talk about it in the next section, but we're fixing to jump into the group work. But before we do that, when you begin to take up this discipline of fasting, okay, expect opposition. Expect opposition. Because the enemy knows the power of prayer and fasting. All right? You'll be fasting pizza and all of a sudden a salesman will, or you'll be fasting lunch and all of a sudden a salesman will show up with your favorite food at work. That's the way it happens. And so the enemy doesn't want you connected. He understands that connectivity. He understands the power when you're taking something you desire and laying it down and picking up something that pushes you toward Christ. He knows that it draws you closer to Christ. And when it draws you closer to Christ, it draws you further away from the enemy. And that's detrimental to His plan of kill, steal, and destroy. So expect opposition. If you're not experiencing opposition during the middle of your fast, you might want to just back up and check your fast a little bit or check the condition of your heart. Because the enemy doesn't want it. He understands the power of it. And this is why prayer and fasting goes hand in hand, because you cannot do this without Jesus. Yes, Lord? Hey, that's our idea. That's 3 weeks in a row He's called you. He's got plans to prosper you. Hey, that's all right. That's awesome. So now what we're going to do is we're fixing to jump into this group work. You're fine, dear. We're just having fun. We're going to jump into this group work. All right, we're going to take we'll take about 10 minutes to do this, and then we'll come back. Well, I say about 7 minutes, and then we'll come back and do this. And at table host, let's discuss the fast at the table as a group. And then we'll come back and discuss them. I'm glad you brought that up. Tammy asked a really good question a while ago about time frames. And the reason why there's one time frame in the Bible, it was a 40-day fast, okay? It's because outside of 40 days, I mean, even at 40 days, it's tough. But that's what God called him to, and that's the absolute fast. So the rest of them don't have time frames on them because, like me, if God called me and said, hey, I'm going into a partial fast. You can do a partial fast for 2 weeks. If I didn't see results in 2 weeks, I'd be like, where are you at, God? Where's my answer? And so I know people that's been praying and fasting for stuff for years. You know, it's a God thing. It really is. And so it's not about our timing. It's God's timing. And if our heart's conditioned right, even because most of the time God doesn't show up when we want Him to, because we'd have it all messed up, okay? He shows up at the perfect timing. And so our carnal minds want to tell us, hey, I need an answer right now. And God said, no, you don't. You need an answer when I give you the answer, because the thing that maybe you're fasting for a financial breakthrough, and God said, this fasting isn't going to fix this. I need to take you on a journey and to get to this point. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So there's not set time frames. So when you go into a fast and seeking answers from God, you have to go into it with an open heart of saying, all right, God, I'm going to pray and fast through this until you show up. And when we do that and we relinquish our guidelines to fasting, which is what we're trying to do tonight, is break these barriers down and keep it simple, is then God can move. But when we try to put God in a box and put barriers on it, say, all right, I need you to show up 2 weeks on this, but that we're doing it for our gain. That's what we're doing it for. So the next section we're going to talk about is what fasting does in our life. And to me, this, I love this right here. What fasting does in our life. Number one, and I want to sit here just for a second. It says fasting helps us overcome temptation. And then it says denial produces discipline. Denial produces discipline. This is tough. Temptation is tough. We are human beings. We live in, we are engulfed in a fleshly body that's tempted daily. Temptation on our own is impossible to overcome. I don't know any man, the only one that's ever truly figured out how to overcome temptation was Jesus. Temptation to the flesh is, because our flesh, man, it is, I learn more and more of just how weak we really are in the flesh. And so the enemy is going to tempt the weakest portion of our life, and it's our flesh. But when he tempts it, what he tries to do is he tries to make our flesh strong. Because if he can get us to operate in the flesh, he can get us out of the spirit, which disconnects us from God. And that's where temptation comes in, and we're going to deal with temptation. It's not something, it's not an if, it's when. It's being in a position to recognize that temptation and to deal with that temptation. And every one of us in here have been tempted and failed. Every one of us in here will be tempted this week and fail. We're human. It's the reason why God has to have so much grace. But fasting helps us overcome these temptations in our life. I'm dealing with something right now that I know God spoke to me the other night through a brother in Christ, and it's a temptation that I'm having to battle, and my flesh wants to do this over here, but God's tugging at my spirit saying, I'll just be transparently honest with you, the flesh was winning because it was overcoming what my spirit knew to do. And the enemy knew it, so he was attacking me like crazy. Then it comes in and says, denial produces discipline. When this brother spoke this thing into my life, the very first thing I had to do was to deny what was going on. And that denial was no more. It has to stop right here. I can say that all day long. On Justin's accord, I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it on my own. So the first thing I had to do when I made it, the decision here to deny, in order to get that decision from here to here, took someone bridging the gap, and that was Jesus. I had to have Jesus take it to deny. And so when I denied it, I knew instantly that I was going to be tempted. I knew instantly that was going to rise up in my life. And I've been dealing with this since for a long time, but I've really focused on it since Sunday. And I'm going to tell you what, it's taken some discipline up until this point not to let this thing sneak up on me. Some real discipline. And the more I deny it, I get more disciplined in denying the thing that was destroying me. That only comes from prayer and fasting. I won't say it's the only thing, but it's prayer and fasting is one of the key tools in God's toolbox that allows us to deny our flesh so we can produce discipline. And through discipline, we begin to gain power that we don't possess on our own. And I'm going to show you how that comes through the Spirit here in just a little bit. In Hebrews 12 and 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. I can tell you what I'm dealing with right now. I hate it. I hate what I'm having. It's exhausting. It's really exhausting in my mind. It's painful. Later on, however, it says it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained in it. The minute I made the decision to deny myself and become disciplined, God already began to show me righteousness. He already began to show me. And what God was saying, he's saying, I got this timing thing down for you, Justin. I've got something happening. But, buddy, you're just a little bit out of a line over here in this. And I need you to bring that back. Well, the only way I could bring that back was to deny what I wanted to do. And I'm having to deny it over and over and over. And it's bringing me back into line. And God's saying, oh, here's the results of that. Here's righteousness. This is what this righteous walk looks like. Well, that's what they're saying. And it sucks. I hate to say that in here, but it does. It's tough. It's hard. And I cannot do it on my own. But I can tell you, through prayer and fasting, I've taken one step in front of the other. And God's already beginning. Already through discipline, already beginning to take some of this load off of me. The second one, what fasting does is it brings breakthrough. I asked a question earlier in class, who needs a breakthrough? I need a breakthrough. Whether you want to raise your hand or not, everybody in here desires a breakthrough in a certain area of their life. We do. We'll need breakthroughs and desire breakthrough in areas of our life until we get to heaven. Because we're always going to need something from God. We're always going to need Him to do something for us. Because we should be completely dependent upon Him. But fasting brings a breakthrough. But I want to add something to that. I think it should say proper fasting brings a breakthrough. If you're just fasting to fast, you're just dieting. Just like Sonia said a while ago. Proper fasting is fasting is paired with prayer. So when we're doing that properly, now you're beginning to seek God's will. If we're going into a fast for what we want, you're going to miss the boat. We'll miss the boat every time. Because our minds may tell us, hey, this is what you need. If God gave me everything I thought I ever needed, I wouldn't be here today. None of us would. It's about His will. It's about drawing closer to Him, and it's about obtaining His will for our life through prayer and fasting. And when we do that, it's tough. It takes discipline, but that's where true power comes from. And when we do proper fasting, it brings breakthrough. I promise. It works. But it has to be done with the right condition of heart, and it has to be done with the right intentions of, my God, I have this sector in my life that I need a breakthrough in. I desire to see you. I desire to draw closer to you. And I'm going to give up this. And I'm going to insert you so I can take my focus off of something that I desire so I can focus more on you so I can draw closer to you so that I can receive what you have for me. That's proper fasting. Daniel 10, 12 and 14, don't you look at this. This scripture is so powerful. You know the story of Daniel. It says, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Listen to this. It says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, all Daniel is seeking is knowledge from God. He's humbling himself. He's needing this information from God. And then we talked about Be ready for opposition. And it goes on and says, but the prince of Persia kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, come to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Daniel was needing information from God. He was fasting for knowledge. And that knowledge he was trying to obtain was to do God's will, not Daniel's will. That's what's so powerful about that scripture. He's seeking God's knowledge. He has humbled himself so he can do God's will that God has called him to do. And it took God some time to show up. Hence the 21-day Daniel fast. But there's power in that because Daniel said, you know what? I'm going to sit right here, big boy, in humility, and I'm going to wait on you. And that's what we have to do. That's how it brings breakthrough. Number three, this is where it gets really good for me, guys. This is where it gets powerful, powerful, powerful. And I'm going to read three, and then I'm going to go back up to Ephesians 6 and 12, which you don't have to go to that. It's in your book. So point three is fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Hang on a second. What does that say? It weakens the flesh and it strengthens your spirit. Well, what is that? Spiritual warfare. Look at Ephesians 6 and 12. It's just right above that point. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is spiritual warfare. And I never perceived fasting as spiritual warfare. I've always perceived fasting and prayer as application. And it is an application that we put in our life. But fasting weakens the flesh, the thing that leads me astray, and it strengthens the spirit. The flesh is attached to the world. Because when we die, all of us, our flesh will remain here. Our spirit is what goes to God. So our spirit is connected to God. So when we strengthen our spirit inside of us to be stronger than the flesh, then we can start walking out the will of God. Then we can see what God wants us to see, hear what God wants us to hear, know what God wants us to know. But as long as our flesh is stronger than the spirit, well, we're going to get led astray. Because the flesh is going to lead you astray because it's a carnal pleasing pleasure to self. When we're pleasing of the spirit, we're pleasing to God. So what fasting does is it says, all right, I'm going to take, let's just, somebody throw up, somebody just tell me their favorite food. What's your favorite food?
Steak.
Steak. You just keep trying, buddy. You'll learn to cook them one day. Nikki, what's your favorite food?
I don't
You don't have a favorite food?
Wings.
Wings. All right, Sam. Wings. You love wings. Imagine, the reason you like wings is because it's pleasing to your flesh. So what we're saying is remove that thing that pleases your flesh and insert a closeness with God so that it strengthens your spirit to be stronger than your flesh. Because if you love wings that much and you fast from them, you're going to desire those things. But that's where the discipline comes in. So when we discipline ourselves, but we discipline our spirit to say, no, hang on a second. I'm going to strengthen my spirit so it overcomes my flesh so I can draw closer to God. That's spiritual warfare. That's God doing the work. So when we remove something that we love, that our flesh desires, and replace it with God, He's doing the increase, and He is creating this bridge of our spirit that makes us stronger than our flesh. And when we do that, we gain power. That's where we gain our vision from and our purpose and the things that we're looking for. And that's where our breakthrough comes, because now we are attaching and drawing closer to God. When we get closer to God, it's where our breakthroughs come from. Number four. Fasting assists in bringing forth the will of God in a specific situation. We just talked about that. That's what it does. We're strengthening, we're drawing closer to God. And when we draw closer to God, we desire His will. Because He begins to show us His will in our life. As long as we're focused on our will and our desires and what we want, we'll miss the boat. But when we can say, all right, God, not my will, but Thy will. And then God can begin to walk and move through our life. All right. Fasting and prayer does that. Fasting and prayer begins to reveal the things of God, because what you're doing is you're eliminating what you desire and implementing what God desires. And number five, fasting brings clarity and understanding.
That's what I'm seeking right now in my life, is I need some clarity and understanding in some situations in my life. Because my carnal brain is blocking what God's trying to show me. And it's God's not ready to reveal to me what he's trying to reveal to me. And the only way that's going to happen is if I spend time in prayer and fasting. And I know through prayer and fasting, I'll get to share a testimony with y'all before this thing's over with about what God's doing in my life. Because I'm going to do everything that I can in Christ to attach to him so I can see the will for his life, because he's tapping me on the shoulder for something right now. And I know it. I know it in my spirit. My flesh says, you got this, Justin. Number six. Start running out of time. Fasting reduces and removes what we are not so we can become who we are destined to be. This is good, guys. Fasting reduces and removes what we are not. The enemy is going to try to make you believe what you're not. He's going to fill you full of lies and deceit, and he's going to tell you, you can't do this, you can't achieve this, you can't receive this, this isn't available. He's going to try to make you what you're not. But when we fasting removes and reduces the voice of the enemy so we can become who we are destined to be. This is where God's calling us to be. God's got a destiny on every one of our lives. He has a plan for every one of us. And God is standing there saying, here I am. This is your destiny. Your destiny is right here. And all of our destiny is in the presence of God. It's all with Jesus. And he said, it talks about that God draws us closer. Through prayer and fasting, God draws us closer. And when he draws us closer, he's drawing us away from the enemy. And the grips that the enemy has on us, telling us these lies about what it says, who we are not. I've already said to everybody in this room that I see a room full of leaders, potential leaders. I don't see a room full of potential failures at all. The enemy will try to tell you all day you can't leave. The enemy will try to tell you all day you can't serve. The enemy will try to tell you my time's up. God's done with me. I've already served. If you're still breathing, there's still a purpose in your life. The enemy will try to stop you from doing that. God said, I got a destiny over here for you. I still got purpose for you. You want to know what that purpose is? Draw closer to me. And prayer and fasting is one of the greatest ways to do that. So we'll take just a couple minutes before we wrap up in the group work. All right, we'll discuss this at our table, and we'll wrap up. And it's which of the six points above that we just talked about stood out most to you, and what area might God be stirring in you to fast about? And then I encourage all of us to do, not I petition us, I can't make you do nothing, but I petition this class to go on a fast this week. And what I ask you to do, it didn't talk about this in here, but whatever your goal is, get a piece of paper when you get home. You don't do this right now. Get a piece of paper and write your goal down, whatever that is. I want to see God do, and fill in the blank. And let's go in together as a family. Let's go in together as a Christ community and grow to, and let's go into a fast together this next week. I'm not telling you go on a 40-day. We can't make a 40-day fast. Luckily, we'll be here before the 40 days. And I'm not trying to just spend some time. I would encourage you to tonight, spend some time in prayer asking God, what would you have me fast? You know what it is. You know the things that draw you away from Christ. And I encourage us to do that, and we're going to talk about, hopefully, that some of y'all see some results next week. And if you don't see the results next week, you may have them the week after, or you may have them week 8. I don't know. But I can tell you this, that there will, I guarantee you God will show you results. And I guarantee you that what God's doing in my life, it may not come to complete fruition, but I know that God's going to have a testimony for this class through me, through this prayer and fasting, and he'll do the same thing for y'all. So let's do that together, okay? Let's do this group work. All right, guys. All right. I love the interaction at the tables. I just sitting there kind of listening to some of the conversations, and it's good when we begin to share these different things back and forth to different personalities and different people at our table. Man, we learn from interaction like that, and absolutely love it. So I just want to encourage you this next week until we meet again. Remember, if you look, let me make sure I'm right. If you look at the in Appendix B, there's a tool back there, and it kind of
goes more in depth about different types of fast and stuff like that. It's in Appendix B. I'm not sure what page that is in the student manual. 60, page 60 in the student manual. Hey, seriously, guys, take some time tonight. And even if it, you know, take some time, even if it's tomorrow, and spend some time in prayer and really see what, if you'll open your heart up to God about prayer and fasting, He'll speak to you. And, you know, just, I really encourage you, don't sign up for something that you can't do just to say you did it. Make sure that God's speaking to you is something that, especially if you're just getting started, because you don't want to set a goal, a level of expectation that you can't meet up to. And that's I'm being for real about that. So as far as the homework goes, remember we got our Bible reading plan. The Bible reading plan is apply the SOAP method. We'll do that throughout the remainder of the semester. Please bring, hey, y'all did an amazing job relaying what y'all have learned in the SOAP method. Hey, Paul talks about not shrinking back. Don't shrink back. Keep pressing forward. Keep reading the Bible. Keep doing this Bible study plan. And I promise you, the end result, you'll be closer to God. And that's what we all want. And then the memorization first. Romans 1 and 6, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentile. That's our memorization verse for next week. I encourage you to study it, bring it back. Y'all did an amazing job with it. And they'll just, remember, it's another arrow in your quiver. I will close this out in prayer. I do want to ask, because I'm all about feedback. Are y'all enjoying the class? Huh? Are we getting something out of it? Okay. Because if we're not getting, drawing closer to God in this, then we're not achieving the goal. And this is all about us having a deeper walk, a deeper relationship, and a deeper knowledge with Christ. So I'll close in prayer and we'll get out of here. Gracious Father, God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to dig through your toolbox today and learn about one of your mighty, mighty weapons and mighty, mighty tools, God, that draws us closer to you. Because, Father, the closer we are to you in relationship and presence, God, the safer we are, the more powerful we are. And God, we can hear your voice better. We can sense you better. And God, I just pray that tonight as these students go home, God, and they begin to seek you for what you would have them do, God, it's custom to their life, God, that you can speak to them in a unique way to them. God, I pray that you speak to them in a mighty way. And God, reveal yourself to them that they have clarity, Father, on what to pray and fast. And God, I pray for some amazing results. I pray that you do what only you can do. And God, not to say, see what prayer fasting does, I told you so, but to come back and be able to glorify you and say, look what God did in me through his way. And God, I just pray a blessing over their family, all that are out sick. God, I pray healing over them. God, I pray for safe travels. Watch over everybody. I pray for a great weekend. God, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in NAC. Most of all, God, thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of believers across this county. God, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.